Turn your Bibles to Psalm 121. You know, the Lord wants to be our Father. He wants us to be His children. And He wants to be a provider for us. He wants to be a keeper for us. He wants to us to rely on Him. Psalm 121 is kind of interesting. It tells a little bit about His heart. Amen? I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, the Lord's heart right now to His church, it's been going on for a month or so, I know in my life, in my prayer life and stuff, and I know it's going on in others because Brother Madison has spoke the same things. The Lord's heart right now is for His children to return to Him and to rely on Him and to be as little children. You know, when you're a little child, and most of us have been parents, when you're a little child, you totally depend on your parents for everything. You don't worry about nothing. You totally depend on your parents. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be totally dependent on us. And He's grieved when we don't do that. In Psalm 78:40, it tells you how He was grieved by the children when He brought them out of Egypt, because they wouldn't be obedient to Him and go into the promised land that He gave them. So He made them wander for 40 years. He was grieved because of that. Now, our God is powerful. He's omnipotent. He could force us. He could have forced them to be obedient. He could have forced them to do what He wanted. He could force us to do what He wants us to do now. But that's not what He wants. He wants our obedience through love. He wants our obedience through love. If you love God, you will be obedient to Him. John 14:15 says, if you love me, do my commandments. John 15:14, Jesus says, if you're my friends, you'll do what I command you. Amen? God wants our love and our obedience only through that love. He doesn't want to force us to do anything. And He's not going to force us to do anything, even though He could. Amen? Look, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. You know, God's heart is for the children, and it's coming out. It's coming out that He wants us to be like little children. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, He teaches us through His Word how to teach our children to grow up and be what He wants us to be. Amen? 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. He wants us to honor Him just like we honored our real natural parents. In fact, He wants us to honor Him even more so than we did our real natural parents. Amen? Because He's much more a father than our natural parents were. Amen? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Just like Brother Madison was sharing here. We didn't talk before, so I know it's the Lord dealing with us. Amen? All I did was ask Him to do an offering message. Amen? And I thought He was going to teach my message. But that's the Lord. That's we hear from the same Holy Ghost. Amen? And so I know that's where the Lord's at. Is He wants us to return to Him. His church has gotten so far away from Him. They've gotten so involved in all the other things of the world, the maintenance of the things they own and the things they want, that they're not spending the time with Him that He wants and requires of us. Amen? And He said in Matthew 18, I want you to be my children. I want you to totally depend on me for everything you do and everything you need, instead of trying to do it all yourself. Come to me and spend time with me. Come to me and fellowship with me, just like you did when you were a little child and you went to your dad or your mom when you needed something. I'm your dad and your mom now. Come to me. Amen? If you don't be renewed as a little child, if you don't become humble as a little child, he says you're not going to enter the kingdom of God because you're not going to know how to spend time with him. Amen? Hallelujah. And the only way you're going to do that is he's not going to come to you. Over in James chapter 4, I believe it is, he says, you must draw nigh to God, and then he'll draw nigh to you. Amen? You have to take the first step. And that first step is finding time. I've been preaching it on Wednesday nights. If you've been there on Wednesday nights, the last two Wednesday nights, is you've got to find time to spend time with God in the secret place. You've got to learn how to spend time with him, just you and him, and step into that secret place and let him minister to you as you minister to him. Listen to him as he talks. Talk to him and he'll listen to you. And you'll be surprised at the things he'll tell you, the things he'll show you, the things that'll start happening in your life afterwards. Amen? And I'm not talking about doing this once in a while. I'm talking about doing this on a daily basis. Amen? In Acts chapter 2, in verse 46 and 47, he says that he wants you in the temple daily in one accord. The Christian church today has gotten the attitude that if I've gone to church once a week, I've committed my duty to God, and we don't need to spend any more time with him. And unfortunately, that's not what he wants. He wants us every day. He wants us with him in fellowship. He wants us in fellowship with each other on a daily basis because we are his body. Amen? He doesn't want us to come to church on Sunday morning, leave, and go our separate way the rest of the week and do what we want to do. He wants us fellowshipping with him daily, fellowshipping with each other daily. Amen? And he said in Matthew chapter 22, the greatest commandment of all is love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's the greatest commandment there is. Forget those other 10. And he gave you a second one. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. And he said, all those others will be taken care of in these two. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and you love your neighbor like you love yourself, all of those other commandments from the Old Testament will be rolled into that and taken care of. Because you can't love yourself and you can't love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul and do the things that you're warned not to do in the Old Testament. Amen? What I want to do is I want to look at a parable that we've read it many times, and I want to break it down the way I read it, the way I see it. And that's the parable of the prodigal son. That word prodigal means wasteful, by the way. Amen? Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. You know, we read that, and I've read it many times before, and until recently, I always read it with the focus on the son. That's not where the focus should be. The focus should be on the father. And we're going to look at how that happens in this here. I'm just going to start reading at verse 11, Luke 15, verse 11. And a certain man had two sons. And I think that's interesting that there's a comparison here too also. Amen. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all the possessions together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Well, let's stop for a minute. Number one, in the culture of that time, the oldest son got the inheritance first, not the younger. But when he went to his father was patient with him. His father listened to him. He heard what he said. Amen? And what's going on in the son's life, many of us have forgotten. We used to do the same thing. The son had a desire to see and do things that he'd never done. Amen? He'd been in his father's home all his life. He'd not seen the world, if you will. He'd not done those things. And so he had a desire to get out there and get off from under his father's hands and take care of himself and see the world. And you know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence until you get on the other side of the fence. And then you realize you still have to mow the grass and you still have to water it and still have to take care of it, or it's not as green as you thought it was. Amen. So he gets out there in his other country after taking all his possessions, and he, it says he wasted his possessions with prodigal living or wasteful living. Let's go on. But when he had spent all, there aroused a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And you know, I know from fact, from having friends in high school and in my younger years, as long as you have money and things to spend, you have lots of friends. They're always there. But as soon as you're in need and you don't have any money, you can't find a friend. They've disappeared. They've all left. And they don't even need, you don't even need to tell them you don't have money. They just know. Amen? They just disappear. And that's what happened to this young man. He's out in this far country, and he's not in his father's house. He's not being taken care of anymore. And he thinks he knows better than the father. So he's out there, and first thing you know, he has spent his entire inheritance. Okay? And he looks around him, and he's got no friends. And he doesn't know what to do, because he never had to work for a living. He never had to worry about where his food was coming from. And so he has to go and hook up with a man of that country. And if we read on, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed swine. That's pigs. Amen. So he's got a job now out in the field feeding pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, except no one gave him anything. See, all his friends are gone. While he had money, they pulled from him. And they were there to help him spend that money. But now that he's got nothing, he's got no friends. They're gone. Amen? And I think what happened, if you'll bear with me here, I think what happened is, at this point in time, he began to appreciate the things that he had often taken for granted from his father. He had the time now, as he sat in the field taking care of these swine, to look back on where he came from. Amen? And he began to realize that the father that he hadn't appreciated had always taken care of him. That father had always given him everything he needed. Amen? And so what he began to see is he began to remember and see his father's generous heart. Amen? He began to see his father's generous heart. And when he came to himself, the scriptures tell us that he began to realize, even now today still, in my father's house, he's taking care of his servants, and I'm here starving. Let's read on. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Amen? And in his father's house, before he left, he would just come down, sit down at the table, the food would be there, and he'd eat till he was full, and he'd get up and leave. He never once thought about where that food came from, who prepared it, who bought it. He just knew that when he was hungry, the food was there, and he ate it. He knew when he needed clothes, they were there, and he just put them on. Amen? His father's servants took care of him. Now he's out on his own. He has wasted all his money. He's in the field taking care of pigs, and he don't know where his next meal's coming from. So he's beginning to reflect. Amen? And he's beginning to reflect on his father and his father's understanding heart. How his father understood when he came to him and said, I need to go out on my own and I need my inheritance. His father understood where he was at, probably realizing from his own experiences when he was younger. He did the same thing. We've all done it. We've all wanted to get out of our parents' house and live on our own and be our own boss and make our own decisions. How many of us, when we got out there, found out it wasn't as easy as we thought it was? It's a whole lot easier when mom and dad are providing everything, and when mom and dad are making some of the decisions in your life, and when mom and dad see that you have clothes and food on the table. All of a sudden, when you have to do it yourself, it's a whole different ballgame, people. And that's what he was realizing. Amen? And he began to understand how understanding his father was. And, you know, while he was at home, he probably thought his dad was old and foolish, set in his ways and not with it, you know. We thought that of our dads, right? Or our moms. I know my son felt the same way about me at one time. Amen? Now he's a father, and he's found out that, you know what? This is the way it works. Amen? Praise God. See, the prodigal son, he thought he knew more about life than dad. And dad, rather than make a scene out of it, just said, okay, here, go do your thing. So his dad was understanding. Amen? He understood how the son needed to go out and find out for himself. And he didn't tell him, you know, you're going to find out that this isn't good. He just, okay, here, go. Amen? Was he pleased with that decision by the son? Did he really want the son to leave? No. But just like our Heavenly Father won't force us to do something, this father did not force his son to do something. Amen? This is a really good example of how our Heavenly Father is toward us and what his heart is toward us. Amen? Hallelujah. And he sat there and he's pondering all these memories, and he's looking at how his father was understanding, how his father was patient with him when he was home. Amen? How he continued to remember that all the time he was home, the things that he did, his father was always patient with him. His father always cared for him. His father always gave him what he needed. You know, and he began to realize, I don't have any of that now. I don't have any of that now. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. See, our daddy, I can't say it any other way. I mean, because that's just the way he impressed me in my private time in the last couple of days, is my daddy wants my time. When I was young, I used to really love spending time with my dad. And unfortunately, my dad was gone a lot because of the job he had. So when he would get home on the weekends, I mean, I know I probably irritated him because I was all over him. I wanted to wrestle with him. I wanted to play with him. I wanted to be his son. Amen. And that's what's going on here. And he's remembering back, oh, my father, and he remembers the times that he did things he shouldn't have done, and the father forgave him, just like our Heavenly Father forgives us when we screw up. And he began to remember, and he began to think about this, and he began to think, you know, I have a father that's forgiving. If I go back and tell him I'm sorry, I'll bet he'll forgive me again. Amen? And I think that forgiveness is probably the thing that finally pushed this prodigal son over the edge and got him to get up out of his woe is me, out of his mully grubs, as Pastor would say, and decide, I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm going to go back and tell my father how sorry I am. And if we read on at verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Notice now, this son must have been raised in the ways of the Lord. Amen? Because the first thing he said is, I have sinned against the ways of heaven and against you. Amen? And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. See, he wasn't even... He didn't even realize that the father would take him back and put him in the same spot he was in. He would have been satisfied just to have what the father's servants had, because he's got nothing now. He can't even eat what the hogs are eating, because they're eating carob pods, and carob pods are not good for people to eat. Amen? So he couldn't even eat what the pigs were eating. And that forgiveness has got to be a life pattern. Amen? It's not just an occasional thing. We can go to the Father anytime we need forgiveness and cry out to Him and say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And He's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? Not just to forgive us, He said He'll cleanse us. Amen? Perhaps the most important element in a fellowship relationship is forgiveness. Galatians chapter 6 tells us that, brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore him. That's forgiveness. That's taking that person, forgiving them yourself first, and leading them to forgiveness with the Lord. Amen? So anyways, he decides, I'm going to get up and go back to the Father. Amen? And he gets back there, and he's on the road home, and he knows what he's going to say to the Father when he gets there. And what does he see? He sees the Father out on the road watching and looking for him. And the Father comes to him before he even gets home. And the Father takes him in his bosom and welcomes him home. You know, that's very picturesque of what our Heavenly Father does for us whenever we need forgiveness. Or whenever we need to get close to Him for any reason, even. If we just go and call out to Him, if we just step into that secret place with Him alone, He'll do the same thing. He'll grab us and He'll wrap His arms around us. And He'll hug you in a way you've never been hugged in the natural people. Amen? Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But you know what? The father didn't care. He wasn't even listening to what that son was saying. And the one thing he didn't do is he didn't wag his finger at his son and say, I told you so. I told you this would happen. Did you learn your lesson? No. He just grabbed his son, gave him a hug, and he turned around to the servants and he says, go get, not a robe, the best robe. That was a symbol of familyship in those times, people. And put a ring on his finger. Another symbol of being a part of the family. This father welcomed his son right back to where he left from. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 22, but the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Amen. And put a ring on his hand and put some sandals on his feet. He's barefooted. Man, I don't want him walking around out here barefooted. Get him some shoes. Amen. He's my son. And he didn't stop there. He threw a party. Oh, he threw a big party. Amen. How many of your fathers, how many of your own fathers would have done the same thing for you if you'd been gone for a year or so and returned home? Not too many of them, really. But our Heavenly Father will. He'll throw a party every time we come back to Him. And the angels in heaven will rejoice over it. Amen? The fact that his son had returned to him was good enough for that father. He didn't have to hear any explanation. He didn't have to know why. All he knew was, my son is home. Amen? Throw a party for me. Amen? And you know, it's kind of the same thing with us. We grieve our Heavenly Father all the time. Every time we're not obedient. Every time we do our own thing instead of doing what He wants us to do. Every time we go our own way and try to make things happen ourselves instead of relying completely on Him. You know, yesterday morning, I went into my room and I went in to pray because I knew I was going to minister a little bit today. And I wanted to do what the Father wanted done today. And so I wanted to get before Him and I wanted to hear from Him so that I could honestly say what He wanted said. And so I began to pray, and I asked Him, Father, show me what you want. And I finished my prayer, and I'm listening, because I'm expecting to find out what verses to go look up and what to read to prepare the lesson. And instead I heard this: worship me. And it kind of hurt, because I've been a little lax in my personal worship. But I heard, worship me. And I reached up and I took down a CD that I like. And I put it in my CD player and I put my headsets on. And I didn't make it through the first song, people, before His presence completely engulfed me. And I spent the next hour or so completely in His presence, like I hadn't been for a long time. And when I finished, He said, "Now we'll talk." And then He began to show me what He wanted. And I know now that from this day forward, I am not going to let my private worship lax like it has in the past. Because that's what He wants, people. That's stepping into that secret place. That's stepping in and doing what He wants you to do, so that He can get you in a place where He can speak to you, in a place where you'll listen to Him. Amen? I believe that the best verse in the Bible that sums up how the Lord feels about us is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." Are you willing to give a son? Would you send your son to a sacrifice for someone else? God did. How great a love is that? Amen. Paul says over in Romans chapter 8, I believe it's verses 30 and 39, he talks about how nothing can take our love and separate us from God. I don't think that he's saying that he can't be separated from God. I think he's saying God can't be separated from His love for us. Amen. Because I know we can be separated. We can be led astray. But God's love for us cannot be moved. Amen. He will always be there. He will always love you. He always cares for you. And all we have to do, if we think we're out of fellowship with Him, is just go to Him and cry out. First John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and then to cleanse you of them." And He loves us so much. He wants our fellowship so much that I have to read to you what it says in John chapter 14. Amen? John chapter 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And I go to prepare a place for you." Sounds like somebody wants some fellowship. Amen? He's preparing a place for me before I even get there. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He wants us more than you can think of. He wants us fellowshipping with Him. He wants us in His presence. And those mansions He's preparing for us, yeah, they're for a later time. They're for a time when we will spend time with Him forever in His presence. But we have today at our disposal a secret place. Each and every one of us has a secret place where we can go and meet Him. Amen. Where you can go and follow Him there and lay down your life in front of Him, and He can minister to you. That secret place is so close to you that you carry it with you everywhere you go. You don't have to be alone and step into your closet, prayer closet at home, and close the door to really get in that secret place. You can step into that secret place and fellowship with Him anywhere. In fact, you might be accused of being daydreaming while you're there, because it's going to be so blissful when you're with Him in the secret place that people are going to think you're off daydreaming. Amen? And that's fine. It's a wonderful daydream then, isn't it? You know? Time spent with the Lord is precious. You cannot replace it with anything else. You can't do anything else with it. Amen? And today, if that's where you're at, if you don't know how to step into that secret place, if you don't know how to fellowship with Him, if you don't know how to shut out the world, He says, call on Him. Just call on me. Just draw nigh to me. And I'll come. Amen. Hallelujah. That's His heart right now, is to love His people and to have His people love Him. He wants His church, not this church, His church, the body of Christ, to return to their first love. He wants us to get out of the world, amen, out of the world as in doing the worldly things, and start spending quality time with Him. You want to see miracles? You want to see signs and wonders? You're only going to see them when you've spent quality time with Him. If you look back and read through the Gospels, you'll find that the times when Jesus did the greatest miracles and the greatest signs was the day after He spent the night on the mountain in prayer with the Father, in His fellowship time with the Father. He came down off the mountain and ministered in power. Amen? Because He heard from the Father. He saw from the Father. And then He came and did what the Father showed Him. Amen? It's the same way with you. Jesus has left us, His church, here on this earth to do what He started, to finish the work He started. And the only way we're going to walk in that same power is to spend time fellowshiping with the Lord, so that we can hear from Him, so that He can tell us and show us what it is we're going to do. And then we're not going to walk in words of wisdom of men. We're going to walk in the power and demonstration of the Lord. Amen. That's what He wants. And I know it's been on my heart. I know it's been on Brother Madison's heart. It's been on a couple other people's hearts. Because He wants us to return to Him. Amen. He wants us to return to Him. Don't wait for next Sunday to spend time with Him again. Make the time. I don't care. You know, I found that what I've done is, and this is me, you can do what you want, but I get up earlier in the morning than I need to for work. And I do that because I like to spend my time with the Lord first before I go out in the world. It makes taking the world a whole lot easier. So I get up earlier. That might mean you have to go to bed earlier. Oh, well. You know, like Brother Madison says, you got to have the proper amount of sleep. You can't run your bodies on less sleep and rest than what they need. You will burn out. Amen. And even though the Lord has rest for you, He'll show you what you're doing wrong so that you can correct it in the natural. Amen. But get up early. Amen. Spend some time with Him alone in His Word. Listen to His spoken word, maybe. I do that. Praise and worship Him. Praise and worship is one of the best ways to communicate with Him. Because once you begin to praise and worship Him, His presence shows up. And once His presence shows up, then you can have all the communication you want. Amen. And if you can't do it that way, then find time in the afternoon, after work, before you go out and finish the yard work or whatever. But I find it much easier for myself to do it first thing in the morning. Amen? And I do it every morning. Do I want to get up early every morning and do that? Absolutely not. Brother Madison hit it around the head. Do I want to get up and come to church every Sunday morning? Absolutely not. But I love my Lord. And I love His presence. And I know that if it was something I wanted to do before I was a born-again Christian and I had other hobbies and things and stuff, it was nothing to get up at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning and hook the boat up and put the fishing poles in the boat and head for the lake. Well, excuse me, isn't my Heavenly Father worth that also? Absolutely He is. I sold my boat. Couldn't do both. One took priority, amen? Praise God. Well, be blessed.